Well, growing up when we were young, what was probably one of the most important things to us as we were growing up? If you think about that, especially like middle school, high school age, somewhere in there, it was to be popular. I mean, and we can't, as we get older, it's not as important to us, but when we're younger, it was very important to be popular, to be liked, and I think even to a point, as we get older, we like that as well. We like to have people like us. We like to have people think, oh, he's pretty cool. And as we talked about a few months ago, I found out that I'm no longer cool. So with that, I really no longer need to be popular, right? But we still have this desire to have people like us, to get along with people, and that's a good thing. Today we're going to look at one of the prophets. And he was a minor prophet, an Old Testament prophet. But one thing about prophets, none of them were popular. None of them were liked by the people around them. And I don't want to say for good reason, but they weren't liked because they didn't bring a very popular message. They brought messages of, hey guys, you better shape up or God is bringing judgment upon you. There was a lot that wasn't going on or that people didn't like. And Ezekiel was not a very popular guy. He was a prophet during the Babylonian exile while the Israelites were exiled into Babylon. And chapter 2 and 3 of Ezekiel talks of or speaks to it. It's when Ezekiel was commissioned. And as we look through it, and we're going to read a little bit out of chapter 3. I know our message today is out of chapter 17, but we're going to read a little bit out of chapter 3. Because, you know, we all want to know what God's will is for us in our life. We want to know what God wants of us. I mean, every day, that's what I pray. God, what do you want of me today? What do you want me to do? Well, normally that's a good thing. But what if your message from God for that day is kind of what Ezekiel got? Ezekiel's message from God was, you are going to go speak to these people and you're going to tell them that I'm bringing judgment upon them. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be fun, but you're going to do it anyway. Does that sound like it's something very fun? Sound like something we want to do? No, we want to go bring a positive message. We want to, you know, make people smile and laugh a little bit, but that wasn't Ezekiel's job. As a prophet and all the other ones, they had a very tough job. They had a very tough job. And John Miller wrote, I'm going to read a little bit, and he this was for the Third Way. In 2015, culture shapes and seduces us. It's not easy to detect where we have erred. It takes a prophet. Prophets are not popular. They don't stroke our egos and bless the status quo. The Old Testament prophets talked about what God wants for God's people in an immoral world. A world in which society and religious people often get off track. If we listen carefully to the prophets, we may hear a word from God for our times. But it won't be easy or comfortable. Prophets didn't bring a happy message. They were there to tell the people, especially Ezekiel, he was there to tell the Israelites where they were going wrong, where they weren't following God. And that wouldn't be fun. Think about this for a minute. Now, I don't want you to do this, but think about what it would take for you to go tell somebody that, hey, you're doing this wrong. You're sinning here, 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 and here. Do you think they're going to like that message? Do you think they're going to want to hear from you? Hey, you're doing this wrong. You're doing that wrong. It's not a popular thing. It's not an easy thing. But this was pretty much what Ezekiel was asked to do. And if God tells us, if God lays on our heart that we need to share something, then we kind of have to do it. We do have to do it. You know, one of the people I like to read and follow is the Graham family. Billy Graham, I grew up with my mom, you know, and my grandpa and all this, my family, just really liking the messages that Billy Graham brought. And I've listened to some of his old ones, and they were very powerful. And they were very good, and they spoke the truth. And Franklin is one, his son Franklin Graham is one I follow on Facebook quite a bit. And a lot of his stuff that he puts, that he writes, that the messages he brings speaks truth as well. But when you read comments from people that, and I still don't understand why people follow somebody that they disagree with, but there's all kinds of nasty comments to him because he speaks biblical truth. One is he's not afraid to speak the truth on the ISIS issue and the Muslims and all that. And we're not going to get into that today, but the comments he gets can get quite nasty because he's speaking when he speaks biblical truth. And as Christians, we face that a lot. It's being persecuted. There it is. It's being persecuted for what we believe. For what we believe the Bible teaches us, it's persecution. And when God brings a tough message through somebody, whether it's Ezekiel or the Grahams, or even us speaking with someone a little bit boldly at times, when we bring that tough message, often we take a beating. We are not going to be the popular one when God wants us to step out. And so when that happens, whether it's me up front here bringing a message that you're, you know, that God is convicting you through what I'm saying, or whether it's somebody from your work or where you know, or even kids, God can bring messages through children. But when we hear that message, when we think, boy, I don't like that, I'm going to get angry and I'm going to stand my ground here, we need to stop and ask ourselves a few questions. Number one, is God trying to teach me something? When you hear something that you don't like and you get defensive and ruffle your feathers a little bit, your feathers get ruffled a little bit, stop and ask yourself, is God trying to teach me something? Is God trying to bring me back closer to Him? Have I erred in such a way that I am not paying very close attention to God? Is He trying to do that? Do I need to stop and think? Because God, like I said, God will use anyone. He'll use Christians, He'll use non-Christians, He'll use whatever it takes to get us to see where we are straying away from Him. And quite often, that's one of the hardest things to do in life, is to see where we are falling short of what God is asking of us. It's very hard. It's something that is not easy to do, and every one of us in here, including me, struggle with that. And then once it's revealed to us, then it can get even harder to change, to make that them steps we need to take to be drawn closer to God. But there's a second thing. When we hear a message that we don't like, or when we hear a words of wisdom or whatever you want to call it from someone that we don't like, the second thing we need to do, when we look at it, is God trying to teach us something? Another thing we need to look at, is it biblically true? Is it biblical truth? Is that word what God's scripture teaches us? Because His scripture, this is God, inspired by God, and there are truths to this. And no matter how hard we try, as society or as people, we try to twist that, biblical truth cannot be twisted. It cannot be turned and shaped into what we want. And so if God is speaking to us, if somebody brings us a message of something that's a little harsh, and it's biblical truth, and it's something that we are not walking like we should, but it can be backed up with Scripture, then God's probably telling us, hey, turn around. Listen to that still small voice in your head to stay on the path that leads to righteousness. And that's really what Ezekiel was bringing to the Israelites that were in exile. But they were a little stubborn. And when I say a little stubborn, they were a lot stubborn. Ezekiel definitely ruffled some feathers, made a few enemies here, but I want you to hear just how stubborn these people were. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. This is probably one of my favorite passages in the Bible that makes me chuckle a little bit, because sometimes in my life I can be a little stubborn. I'm probably the only one in here that wrestles with that, but when I want my way, and I'm getting better at it. When I want my way, I want my way, right? I mean, I should get my way, right? We all deserve our own way. But this is really some stubborn people, and I love it. But the house of Israel is not willing to listen to you, because they are not willing to listen to me. For the whole house of Israel is hardened and obstinate. But I will make you as unyielding and as hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. Do not be afraid of them or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house. Boy, am I glad God didn't give me that message when he sent me into ministry. Can you imagine walking into this group of people that you're going to speak to and God telling you up front, they're not going to listen. They're going to be so stubborn that they're going to hate you. They're going to turn their back. They're going to do whatever they can to make your life miserable. Do you know, I had a pastor friend, an older one. He's retired now. But when he started a ministry, a new role as pastor at a church, he was reading his Bible and he was praying, God, reveal to me what my purpose is of going to that church. And do you know God used this passage to speak to him? I see some of you drop your heads. Yes. He got the message that I am sending you to a stubborn group of people. But I'm going to make you more stubborn than even they are. And you know what? Looking back and seeing how that ministry, that life in the church went there, it was true. Oh boy, were they stubborn. And I could give you some stories, but I'm not going to because that borders some gossip there. But I tell you what, that church is thriving now because God hardened, made him as stubborn as they are. And they are a church now that is so faithful. It's awesome and amazing. God will work. Even when we're so stubborn and so stuck in our ways, God will bring us to the point of repentance and reconciliation and reconcile us and bring us closer to God. What a task Ezekiel had to do there. I just think for a minute. Think what it would have been like knowing you're going to talk to people that aren't going to listen, that aren't going to be friendly to you. Not only that, but the message you're bringing isn't very good either. The message was judgment. The message was God was bringing judgment on them because they had so strayed so far from God. And in all the prophecies up to this point, and we're going to get here to chapter 17, but all the prophecies that Ezekiel shared up to this point has been fulfilled by now. Everything that he said, all the destruction and the different things that were going to happen to the Israelites because they strayed from God had been taking place, have taken place till now, except for this one. And this one is Ezekiel 17, 22 through 24. And it's kind of, as you read it, it's a little bit, what am I reading here? Talking about trees and birds, and how is this prophecy? But let me read it, and then we're going to explain it and break it down a little bit. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights, O Israel, I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in its shade. And all the trees of the field will know that I, the Lord, bring down the tall tree and make the low tree grow tall. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. Wow. What, huh? Talking about growing trees and birds, and how does that speak into prophecy? So let's look at it verse by verse, and as you study through this and you read different biblical scholars and see, all of them will agree that this is talking about the return of Jesus. The second coming of Christ, the heaven, when the new heavens and the new earth, and we have that, and we experience Jesus living on earth, and all evil will be gone, will be destroyed. God will take a sprig, verse 22, and plant it on high. That's talking of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 says, a shoot will come from the stump of Jesse. That's Jesus. Jesus came through the lineage of Abraham, Jesse, David, King David, all that. But when it says, when it talks about, I will take a small sprig, a small seed, a small little branch, and grow huge and powerful and mighty. There's a lot there that there's a lot of speculation, and this is kind of the mystery part. But there's a lot that that talks of was prophesying that Jesus was born, was started in a womb, and grow, will grow and grow, and rule this earth because of he is the Son of God. And to me, this passage was a struggle this week because it is a little bit confusing. But Jesus, this passage definitely talks of the return of Jesus. And he will reign as a stately cedar tree. And if you think about that for a minute, and you think back when the Old Testament, when Ezekiel was prophesying and writing this, they didn't have big, tall buildings and skyscrapers that now we kind of look to as them being solid and them being things that are indestructible. But they had these huge cedar trees. And these cedar trees started from a little seed. And they grew and they grew. And man, no matter how hard we try, we can't take a little piece of concrete and plant it and watch it grow into this big, tall, and mighty building. We have to piece things together. God can take a little seed and grow it into something huge, something powerful. And so they had these spectacular cedar trees. And they just look up at them and just, you had to look at them in awe. There was nothing else around that was that big, that majestic, and that spectacular as this cedar tree. And God is comparing Jesus to that. And I know to them it would have been a huge comparison, but Jesus is so much more than this strong, mighty cedar tree. Verse 23 says, it will bear fruit and branches. Fruit and branches. Well, that's all we really need. The fruit is our nourishment, our nutrients that we need to live, to grow closer to Jesus, to survive. The branches are protection, our shade from the harsh things in life. That's all we need. It's talking about Jesus. And I probably sound like I'm repeating myself, but this is just pointing to one thing after another. Ezekiel was speaking to the Israelites of the coming judgment, but he was also telling them of the coming Messiah and how he will make everything better. And he is the one we need to turn to. Jesus will provide for all our needs. Birds of every kind will nest in the branches. The birds are talking about us, people, nations. We will find our protection, our rest in Christ. If we just turn from our evilness, listen to those prophets who are bringing that gloomy message to us. And we'll be reconciled with Christ. Verse 24, all the trees will know who God is. Everyone, everything, when this happens, when Jesus returns again, there will be no mistaking that God is the Lord, that God is God over all. And I want to just imagine what that would be like. I mean, everyone, atheist, Buddhist, any religion, any person, even if they've never gone to church, will recognize that day. There will be no doubt that God is real. That's going to take a pretty mighty work, but it's going to be something that it's going to make us smile. It's going to make us feel right because we've known, we've followed. We will watch nations fall, but it says the faithful will flourish. That's us. Should make us smile. And I hope it gets us excited a little bit, you know, to want to spread the word of God, spread the gospel, because we don't want our loved ones or our friends that are outside of the faith to miss out on it. Should get us excited, get a little fire under us. Ezekiel was hated because he brought this message of doom and gloom. But we have the other side of it. We know that Christ was raised from the dead, died on the cross for our sins so that we can be forgiven. We know that. We have the other side of it. We have not just the message of that we need to repent to be reconciled, but it can be that our sins are washed away. And we can so easily get angry when God uses someone to convict us a little bit of our shortcomings, our sins in our life. It's very easy to do. Very easy. I know that's something I struggle with personally. When God uses someone to confront me, or even if they don't know they're doing it, the very easiest thing to do is to get angry at that person. To get a little defensive and, no, I'm right. I'm doing things fine. But instead of getting angry, instead of getting a little defensive, maybe we should just get a little happy and celebrate that God is using someone, that God loves me enough, that where I'm falling short, he's using someone to bring me back closer to him. And that's what it's about. It's about being closer to God and recognizing where we're falling short, where we're missing the boat. God used Ezekiel to tell the Israelites that they need to repent so that they can be part of the great restoration when Christ reconciles the earth and restores it. And it's really the same message for us today with society, and it's so easy to get caught up in things that aren't biblically true, that God would not be real thrilled with. And we're being told that it's okay when it's really not. And deep down, I think we know different things, many things in life. Culture says it's okay, but the Bible says it's not, and that we can be torn there. We can be torn with wanting to be popular, want to fit in, but the Bible makes it clear that I really can't do that. Let's just make sure we have our acts together so that we can be part of that great day when God reconciles this earth. Let's pray. Lord God, Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for being here, and Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us can listen and hear when you're speaking to us. When you're letting us know that there's things in our life that we need to do a little bit different, that are keeping us from really hearing your Spirit speak, keeping us from drawing closer to you, keeping us from living completely in your blessing, Lord. And Lord, if it's something big like the Israelites were experiencing, that we've completely turned our back, Lord, I pray that you will open our eyes, call us to our knees, and that we can repent and be reconciled to you. In Jesus' name, amen.